Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Turner, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Excellent. I'm ready. The people are ready. Let's go. Welcome to Money Savage Engage. This is George Grumbacher. Dr. Turner Osler is a retired academic trauma surgeon turned research epidemiologist. He's the CEO and founder of QOR360, a company specializing in active seating products for homes, offices, and schools. I'm excited to have you on. Turner, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Okay, well, I was just a mild-mannered trauma surgeon for the first 30 years of my career, you know, sewing up gunshot wounds and taking care of car wrecks and burns and stuff. And then during the day when people don't get in so much trouble, you know, we'd like do general surgery. And I had a terrific career. I was always an academic, you know, teaching medical students and residents, and it was fun and exciting. But then I got a grant from the NIH for a few million dollars and a master's in biostatistics. And I started doing mathematical modeling to try and figure out which trauma centers had better results and which had less stellar results, so we could maybe bring the laggers ahead and find out what the best trauma centers were doing. And so I was like sitting around writing computer code, whereas before I'd been running to the clinic and the OR and the ICU and on rounds and back to the clinic. And when I sat down, you know, for hours a day to write statistical analysis code, I started having back pain. Hmm. I thought, what is going on? You know, I've been fine for my whole goddamn life, and now this. And so, you know, I started looking into it, and it turns out it isn't understood. Nobody really gets garden variety low back pain. And I thought, well, you know, I've been to medical school. I've studied anatomy. I've taken bodies apart in the anatomy lab. I put them back together in the OR. You know, I can read academic papers. I write them, for Christ's sake. You know, there just wasn't much. The understanding was pretty rudimentary. And so over time, and, you know, it wasn't an easy lift, I discovered that mostly it's terrible office chairs that are kind of causing the trouble. And the penny dropped when I noticed that places that don't sit on Western office chairs don't have back pain, epidemiologically speaking. So really, back pain is a self-inflicted wound. And so then it was just a matter of, okay, so could there be a chair that didn't cause this kind of mischief? And it took a while to figure that out, because I have no business being an inventor or designer or any of that stuff. But, right. You know, my credentials are all about medicine and surgery and math. But I was, you know, lucky enough to fall in with a community of people at a makerspace here in Burlington, Vermont, who, you know, could see that I had the germ of an idea, and, you know, were very encouraging and very excited. And some of them had real design shops. You know, they studied at Pratt in New York City and were refugees to northern Vermont. And, you know, very quickly we worked out some prototypes, and then we figured out how to manufacture them. And long story short, you know, now we're like making a kind of a chair that lets people move while they're sitting. That turned out to be the key.
Nice.
Sitting still is a catastrophe, because people are supposed to be moving. We're hunter-gatherers. You know, for the first 3 million years of being human, we were like on the savannah traveling a lot by foot. And then 100 years ago, everybody just sat down, you know. You know, first in factory work and then at desk jobs. And they not only sat down, but they sat down for 8 or 10 hours a day. The average American sits 10 hours a day. How's that even possible? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, at work, at the PC, at home, watching television, on the toilet. It's time for bed.
Yeah.
So people spend most of their time sitting. And this is a species that's designed for walking, right? And if you look at hunter-gatherers, that there are still a few left, like the Hadza in Tanzania, you know, they don't have furniture. And they don't sit on the ground. They squat. And it turns out that when you squat, you're using muscular strength in your legs and core to kind of balance yourself over your feet. It's a terrific posture. It's been carefully studied. And there are many, many advantages to this. But unfortunately, most Westerners can't squat, except kids. Little kids squat quite comfortably. But we lose that because we sit on these crappy office chairs and we lose the flexibility necessary to squat. So squatting is just not available to almost all of us can't squat unless you're an extreme yoga person or something like that. It's hard to get it back. But if you'd read, but you can design a chair that lets people move over their ischial tuberosities, over the sitting bones of their pelvis, so that there are two bones on the bottom of the pelvis that are like the kickstand for the human body, and if you stay balanced over them, your posture is perfect, and you're constantly burning glucose with really big muscles, you know, your core muscles, so that your posture gets better, you're burning glucose, so your basal metabolic rate goes up, your serum markers, your good cholesterol goes up, your bad cholesterol goes down, your insulin goes down, and as a result of all this biochemistry getting better by moving, you have a decrease in all-cause mortality. And it's big. You know, it's like a 0.5 reduction in all-cause mortality, which for an epidemiologist, that's to die for. You know, usually you get 0.01 or 0.02. But if you do the math, it turns out that static sitting takes 2 or possibly 3 years off of people's lives. And, you know, how can everybody not know this, right? I mean, it's as big a problem as smoking was in the 50s. But if you rewind the clock, in the 50s, nobody knew smoking was bad. Mm-hmm. Doctors were smoking. Doctors, I'm using air quotes here, were doing advertisements for different cigarettes, right? I mean, they weren't actually physicians. They were paid actors. But the idea that smoking was normal seemed reasonable because everybody smoked. And even the most eminent biostatistician of the era, Emil Fischer, thought that you couldn't figure out if smoking was causing cancer because you couldn't ethically randomize people to smoke or not smoke. So we could never figure out what was going on. You just needed better math. And he was a smart guy, but math got better. And now we know that smoking didn't just cause lung cancer. It caused emphysema. It causes heart disease, one of the leading causes of amputation. It was a catastrophe. And we finally got the word out. It took a while, and now people understand that smoking is bad for them. It was hard, though, because everybody smoked and it seemed normal. Just so with sitting on office chairs. Everybody sits on office chairs and sit on them 8 hours a day, and so everybody thinks it's normal. It isn't. We're hunter-gatherers. We're supposed to be up and around. Right. And even kids, you know, we force them to start sitting in school. Right. Sit still and, you know, do your times tables. Right. Mm-hmm. So we force this kind of stuff on kids early. And not surprisingly, now, you know, physicians and chiropractors are seeing kids with back pain because, you know, I mean, it's heartbreaking for a parent to think that, you know, the constraints of our built environment that we force on our children are actually harming them. And I felt so, you know, this just like really cuts you, you know. And so I thought, well, it's going to be very hard to fix the problem with schools because, you know, heck, they can't afford glitter for preschoolers' art projects, right? So how are you going to replace every chair in a school? And so, you know, my design chums and I, you know, put our heads together. And the design world is very interesting. They say, you know, there is no problem that can't be solved by good design. Mm. And I said, well, how do you solve money with good design? And so we designed a chair that for use in schools that we give away. Huh. Giveaway. You know, we give away the plans. If you have a CNC router, you can, like, you know, cut 6 of these things out of a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Uses a tennis ball or better, a lacrosse ball for the rocking mechanism. And so schools can make as many of these things as they want for $5 or $10 a pop. We put the plans up on a website. We give them away. There's been over 1,000 downloads. You know, we have the idea that we can change. We can't get can't get better furniture under kids because, you know, they're, the distribution model is just too hard. But if we can get the design out into the world, and there are a lot of CNC routers and a lot of plywood out there, well, we might be able to change the way a lot of kids change, maybe the way a lot of kids sit, maybe every kid.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. Would it be
so that that has its own website, nice. buttonchairs.org. You know, it's a project. It's not a product.
Would it be better just to get rid of all the chairs in a classroom and just to teach the kids to squat again?
Well, you know, we might be able to recoup that, you know, and kids might be into it. But and actually, and you know, you look at pictures of schools in places like Africa, and it's really upside down. You know, we're trying to bring them furniture. Where the kids, without us bringing them furniture, are doing fine just squatting, right? They have a better understanding of what they need than we do. And I love this story. I can't help it. Back in the 50s, you know, the United States had a lot of milk because we have a lot of cows and we just couldn't drink it all. Mm-hmm. So we were like making dried milk by the silo. And so we had all this dried milk piling up, and it's expensive to store and this and that. So USAID said, you know, we could give away milk to hungry children in Africa. And wouldn't that be great? We'd get rid of all this milk we have, and we'd be doing some good in the world. Sure. So, okay, they started shipping, you know, boatloads of powdered milk to Africa. And so, okay, fine. But a year later, when they went back to check, they find that African villagers are painting their houses with a thick mixture of powdered milk. And they say, So, you know, we brought you this stuff to feed your kids to make them strong and healthy. And they said, yeah, no, we got that. But it made them have diarrhea and be sick. So this is the best we can figure out to do with it. Because, you know, not everybody has the lactase gene. And so, some populations just can't drink milk. And so by forcing our idea of what's good for people onto unsuspecting populations, we've done great harm. It's very hard to do philanthropy in a way that's constructive. You have to think really hard to give stuff away in a way that's that works.
Yeah, second, third order effects that we don't necessarily see coming. All right, so thinking about grown-ups, we obviously have a lot of problems with, I guess is the term morbidity?
Just right. Morbidity is illness. Mortality is deadness.
Okay. So, right. So we have a lot of morbidity problems. So in an ideal world, it would be no chairs, and we are just walking around all day. And are standing desks an option? Are yoga balls an option?
Right. No, I sat on a yoga ball for 7 long months, you know, but yoga balls fail catastrophically because crucially you have to be able to adjust the height of what you're sitting on. And nobody even knows how tall a yoga ball is, right? I mean, you can buy one of a certain diameter, but as soon as you sit on it, you compress it. And how much you compress it depends on the air pressure and how much you weigh and the barometric pressure and nobody knows how tall a yoga ball is,
right.
But almost certainly they're too low. And that people have tried to fix that by adding wheels or I don't know what, but basically it's a catastrophic failure because A, you can't get the height right. And B, in order to sit with good posture, you have to be able to feel your sitting bones. You know, the kickstand of the human body is right on the bottom of the pelvis. And if you put that on a yoga ball, it's just floating in space. You can't feel where your sitting bones are.
Right.
And so people just basically go into a dead hunch. And the dead computer hunch, which you can easily imagine when they round their back and round their shoulders and their head comes forward, is really terrible for a couple of reasons. The spine isn't designed to take that posture for hours at a time. You know, the spine is supposed to be balanced and erect. But worse, when you hunch like that, all of your muscles go electrochemically dark. Without input from the nervous system to use muscles to adjust the tension in muscles and adjust your posture, they stop. They don't just move bones. Muscles are active biochemical factories that secrete enzymes and hormones and regulate, as we say, your milieu intérieur, the inside chemistry of your body. And when you're not using your muscles, you know, as I said before, your bad cholesterol goes up, your good cholesterol goes down, all that stuff, your insulin goes up, all that stuff becomes very bad. It goes to a very bad, dark place. And so yoga balls kind of encourage that. But, you know, I've been to a bunch of academic ergonomic conferences now because I'm very comfortable in the academic space. I review journals, sure, articles for surgery journals, and I've written over 300 papers that are peer reviewed and book chapters and all that stuff. So anyway, I've been to a bunch of academic conferences. I met the head of HR from the University of Michigan at one of these conferences. And she said, boy, you know, at the UMich, we have 30,000 employees and we banned the yoga ball because we've had 5 catastrophic failures, by which she meant it popped.
Oof.
And when a yoga ball pops, mostly people aren't ready for it. And most people aren't very good, you know, unless they do high level martial arts, are not very good at sudden falling.
Sure.
And so, you know, they'd had head injuries. They had one guy, you know, who had a subdural and had to have, you know, neurosurgery to get the blood out of his head. They'd had lawsuits and they said, that's it, you know, no more yoga balls. But more than that, she said, you know, but it's very hard to get rid of them because people sneak them in. They can be deflated. Mm. So she said, what you have to do if you're going to do yoga balls is you have to provide them. The company has to provide them. And every January 1st, they have to collect them and put them in the trash and buy all new.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, yoga balls are made out of cheap plastic. And over time, the plasticizer evaporates and they become more brittle. And then finally, it's not if a yoga ball is going to pop, it's
sure, good. Sure.
But if they're all less than a year old, the probability of a yoga ball having a catastrophic failure goes way down. So, you know, first of all, yoga balls don't work. And secondly, they're dangerous. And so institutions that have thought hard about the problem just ban them. And you mentioned standing desks. You know, that's another very interesting story. If sitting is bad for us, then standing desks should be the answer, right? Because sure, standing is the opposite of sitting. Well, you know, standing is the linguistic opposite of sitting, right? But if you watch people at a standing desk, they're at the standing desk, they slide usually their non-dominant hip forward and lock it, and then they kind of lean into that extremity, and now they're just propping themselves up with all of their bones locked, and their muscles again go electrochemically dark. We know this because the metabolic activity of somebody at a standing desk only goes up by about 11%. It's kind of a small rise in metabolic activity, so that their muscles aren't actually doing much. And so that's not so good. Also, you hear people say, you know, I try so hard to stand at my standing desk, but I just can't stand there for more than a few hours. It's so painful. Mm. Well, now that's got to be telling you something.
Yeah.
I know something about standing because, you know, I was a trauma surgeon in an institution with medical students and residents for many years. And so I spent a lot of time on rounds. You know, you stand at one door and listen to some medical student drone on about the lab work. And then you go to the next door of the next patient and some other medical student drone. Yeah, you stand for hours. And, you know, I'm okay for the first 5 or 10 minutes, but pretty soon you're leaning against the wall, and you've got one foot against the wall and the other foot against the wall, you know, and finally you just have to, like, you know, find some excuse to leave because standing is a stress posture, right? When you want terrorists to tell you where the bomb is, you just make them stand long enough and they will tell you, right? So it's not a comfortable thing, but here's the real thing. There was a great paper out of a very respected group of epidemiologists in Canada, Smith et al., 2019 in the American Journal of Epidemiology, where they followed 7,300 patients. That's a big study for 10 years. I mean, immensely expensive to do and to fund. And they found that the group was half of their group was standing and half of them were sitting. And for their, you know, for their workday, and those who stood had twice the rate of heart attacks.
Wow.
Right, exactly. You know, a little back pain from your goddamn yoga ball is one thing, but a heart attack will ruin your whole day, you know, and maybe the rest of your life. And you can just tell when you read the discussion section of their paper that they were gobsmacked. They did not expect this, right? Yeah. They kind of expected standing would be better. And as they're trying to, and in the discussion section, you know, this is what researchers do. You know, you find something in the data and they say, what is going on? And as best they can tell, you know, when you're walking, your muscles in your legs are rhythmically contracting. Each muscular contraction squeezes the deep veins of your legs and pumps blood back to the heart because your big deep veins have little valves in them. So by walking around, you're actually pumping blood with your external musculature. It's not widely understood, but maybe 50% of the pumping action happens by just flexing your muscles and squeezing your veins. when you're standing still, that doesn't happen, and the blood just pools in your veins. Not only that, the veins don't have very much muscle in the wall, and so the veins dilate over time because you have this column of blood going from your the right atrium of your heart to your ankles, which dilates the vessels until they get bigger and bigger and bigger, until finally the valves can't quite reach and the valves become incompetent, and then you develop varicose veins. I spent many years stripping varicose veins out of patients who'd been at a standing occupation industrially. And I tell you, it's an ugly operation, and it's it's no one enjoys it. And not even the surgeon. I mean, it's not an elegant operation. So there's a variety of problems that come with standing desk. It doesn't really get people active. It doesn't really solve the back pain problem. Many people say it makes their back pain worse. But perhaps most insidious of all is the fact that it's associated with heart attacks years down the road. And so, people won't be aware of this until, oops, it's too late. So now if you put a treadmill under your standing desk, that kind of fixes all these problems. But those really aren't popular. They're expensive. They make noise. Your office mates complain.
Right.
So I kind of think that the treadmill, and also you can't mouse accurately above a zombie trudge. Above 1 mile an hour, you just can't work a computer keyboard. So for a variety of reasons, I think that pretty much standing desks are off the menu.
Got it. And so you have developed a way to sort of marry the two. It's active seating.
Right. So our idea is that, if walking is what you want, but you have to be like sitting down, what you could do is you could make the seat that you're sitting on mobile. And if you make the seat that you're sitting on mobile and you're sitting on your ischial tuberosities, now you can kind of walk in place without actually going anywhere. There's a great piece of footage you could find on YouTube if you were interested of a guy walking along with no legs. He rarely people are congenitally born with no femurs. So this guy has had no legs for his whole life. But he's learned to get around by just walking along on his ischial tuberosities, on his sitting bones. His steps are quite short because he doesn't have legs, but he walks quite well.
Wow.
And you come to understand that legs aren't what does the walking. It's your spine and your pelvis that do the walking, and your legs just get you some more efficiency. Every step is a few feet instead of a few inches. But the power and the elegance of walking are actually generated in the spine and pelvis. And if you put somebody on a seat that moves, they can be walking while they're sitting there. And they have the added convenience of not having to decide where they're going.
Amazing. Nice. Well, Turner, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So my difference-making tip is move more. We know that activity is like, if I could write a prescription for every patient, it would be for activity. And it almost doesn't matter what you do, play hockey or go for a walk, just move more. If you can get more movement into your life, go up take the stairs, park a long way from your office, whatever, just get more movement into your life. It turns out to be hard to help people do that. And that's where I think we come in. We say, okay, rather than making the choice every day to go for a run, you just have to make one choice. Swap out your crappy office chair for an active chair, and now every time you sit down, you're moving.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on.
Come on.
Turner, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and where can they get an active chair?
Okay, well, if you just Google me, you'll find me, Turner Osler. I have a TED Talk. If you Google TEDx Osler, you'll find my TED Talk. We have a website, qor360.com. I write a blog that goes on for, it's as long as a novel by now, and it keeps getting long. It's ridiculous. I'm not sure anybody reads it, but it's got references. I'm an academic trauma surgeon. It's extremely factual.
I love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Turner your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to QOR360.com and learn about all of Turner's work and check it out. Go to, you can find his TEDx talk. Just Google Bing or whatever you're into, Turner Osler TEDx, and get one of these chairs. Thank you again, Turner.
George, it's been terrific. Thank you so much. Thanks. You know, we went through a lot of trouble to design and make these things. We just need your help to get the word out. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online boot camp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.